Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little
money. Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah, check, check, check. And welcome to what is probably going to be a new Summer Shorts, Dixon Jane's podcast. Oh, my God. It's Sunday. What is it? The 11th of August. I was thinking I'd be on the road by the 15th. I don't feel in the least bit ready to start off on another journey, but we'll see what happens in the next few days. I'm in Montreal now, actually Pointe Claire, at the Comfort Inn, where we've stayed the past few years. My students left yesterday morning. I don't think I talked. No, I didn't record that. I sent a podcast from Quebec City. And it was, you know, like it is each year, very moving, very special. One of the highlights, and I've talked about it before, I won't go on, but is that last half hour of standing outside security and not moving until there was no sign of any student left. And yesterday I had a line of sight, like right through one of the screenings you go through, metal detectors, and I could see through it if there's nobody in it, and just in perfect line with that, way at a distant wall, were some of the students, and they would wave. They could see that I was still there. I'm tall enough, and I would wave back, and then a frantic wave, and then somebody else's arm would come in. And this went on, really, close to 30 minutes. And it's a thing in Japan, you know, if you're seeing a friend off at the train station, you stand on the platform, and you don't leave until the train pulls out, and it's very awkward, and people tell each other not to. I know I've said this same thing before. It happens every year, but it was even more special last year because I knew how important it was to be there. It was a sign of, yeah, I love you. I care for you. And it wasn't, you know, something, oh, my God, I got to do this. It was something I really look forward to doing. I mean, I know how to do it. And that's the way I felt about the overall tour. I just knew what I was doing. I felt so in control and so satisfied. And it really, 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 it was an absolutely wonderful tour. I guess the only concern was these students, whose level, I think, on the whole, was a little bit lower than previous years, spoke Japanese throughout. And one of our rules is, you know, don't get caught speaking Japanese. Don't do it openly, in your room, of course. But while you're around us, on the coach, listening to a guide, no Japanese. And they just pretty well disregarded it. It was really only a few of them, but once somebody starts, then the rest just answer, and no matter how many times. So I gave up scolding them. I gave up, you know. I wasn't scolding, but I would give a talk. Maybe I've mentioned this before. Hello. Yes, I think I was fading away. I'm waiting. I'm very, I'm impatient too, but I'm very conscious of time. Like, how much time do I need to get to the train station so that I'm not racing in and running to catch it? And of course, I have plenty of time. The train's 11:26 and it is 10:24 now. So that's 1 hour, and it's only a 15-minute taxi ride. But I've got a first-class ticket, and I think there's a little lounge where you can get a coffee or something, so I may as well go early and relax and enjoy that, and then have a very nice ride. Now, I was thinking, actually, maybe having a toke before I get on. So, yeah, that's a good reason to learn leave early. And it's a reason why I started this podcast now, because I knew I would have to keep it short. Maybe this will be a beginning, and then maybe this podcast will end with me ready to head west and start fresh again. Yeah, yesterday was a remarkable day because it just happened that the Nova Scotia guy was in Montreal to trade in a 5-year-old digital Leica for a new one. And these are not cheap. But the wonderful thing about Leicas is all, every Leica, every new Leica produced is backwards compatible with old lenses. So new ones tend to be bayonet mount. The old ones are a screw mount. And so you could put a screw mount lens on a brand new, you know, a 50, 60, 70 year old screw mount lens on a brand new Leica. You probably wouldn't want to, but you can. So you don't have to start reinvesting. Like some cameras just don't work that way. But Leica owners hold on to all their old things, including Cliff said he could attach a Visiflex to this and so on. A very high-tech machine. It was taking Cliff, you know, the Nova Scotia guy, quite a while to get the photograph set up. I mean, it's a whole new learning curve to this thing, but quite impressive. And absolutely, when you see it, if you know anything about cameras, you know this is just an amazing piece of technology, machinery, so beautifully made. Solid black, the black lens, they just look so nice. There's a certain feeling. You see it with the etched white lettering and that Leica, you know, word, name, and you just, you, if you're like me, you crave it. Oh, I would love one of those. But I don't. I, number one, couldn't afford it unless it was lottery win, and even then it would be too much for me. So I instead just took out my iPhone and took pictures of Mike, who was the one who actually got Cliff interested in Leicas. So these are two friends going back to high school. So we're talking well over 50 years, you know, back when we were 15, 14, 15 years old, and now in our early 70s. And Mike drove me, picked me up at my motel, drove me to Chemtech, which is the best, the one of the only few Leica specialists in all of Eastern Canada. And that's why Cliff had to come from Nova Scotia to get this thing and get instructions on its use. And so we picked him up there and then drove back, drove to Schwartz's on St. Lawrence Boulevard to have good smoked meat. And there was a lineup around the block for Schwartz's on the boulevard, St. Laurent, right? And so we gave up on that and drove to the opposite end, almost off the island of Montreal, to Bay Durfee. For Big Pete's smoked meat, which is my favorite ever. Right? And this is an annual tradition with Mike. So we did that. And then that drive along the lakeshore, which we all knew from our childhood. We all grew up in Lachine, so we know Bay Durfee, Beaconsfield, Pointe Claire, Dorval, Lachine. These names just resonate with us. And we shared stories. It was just absolutely beautiful, driving along in Mike's Subaru, talking about the past, our upbringing, our parents, our life at school, things we did as kids, the trouble we got into. And then as we got to Lachine, I said, I have a whim. How about we drive by each of our houses and take a picture of ourselves in front of the house? Someone takes a picture. And Mike, of course, was just, yeah, sure, anything. And we did that. It was really neat to go to Cliff's house first on 53rd, Mike's on 49th, mine on 48th. And when we got to mine, a woman across the street, I'm standing in the, you know, at the front step of the house or leading up to it, and Cliff is in the middle of the road with his Leica, and a woman comes out across the street and looks at us. And next thing, front door opens of the house. This is 624 48th. And a man comes out, his wife is behind him, and wants to know what we're doing. And I speak in French. It's a very fractured, broken French, but said, this is the house I lived in when I was in high school, and we just wanted to take a picture. And then he, after I mangled quite a few sentences, he switched to English and understood, broke into a big smile, and came up, who said, I bought this house from Leslie Bowl of Marine Industries, which is my dad, and nobody would remember, and even my close friends, that my dad worked for Marine Industries. And I thought that was just so fantastic. And he was all beaming, took us around the back to show us his garden. Turned out the woman across the street was his daughter who owned that house, and called to say, hey, there's some men outside your house taking pictures of your car or your truck. And so it ended up just a happy shaking hands, introductions to Mr. Philidro, I think. And it was wonderful. So he's the man who moved into the house after my parents sold it. Fabulous. So that was a nice little touch. And then along the lakeshore through Lachine, again, so many memories, stopped at the lighthouse down on, what is it, around 36 or so, where the Dairy Queen is. You know the place. And I hauled out a J. Cliff and I shared a little bit of that. And made on our merry way. And eventually, you know, by that time, Cliff had to get his plane at Dorval. So Mike drove him to Dorval and then drove me back here in Pointe Claire. And drove himself all the way back up to the Laurentians, where his cottage is. He had left there in the morning to come and pick me up. Drove down, and, you know, an hour and a half drive to pick me up. And but we all just absolutely loved this gathering. Like, so many memories shared, so many stories, and so many reflections on why we were so fortunate, why our lives turned out so well. We all have exactly what we wanted. We're all completely different, and we were different then. You know, we're talking not just, we're the cookie cutter friends out of Lachine. We were all unique personalities. Mike was a friend I've talked about before. I'd go in his basement, and while everybody else was listening to something simple or whatever, Mike's got Dave Brubeck, the New Christy Minstrels, something classical, the Rolling Stones, jumping all around, and it was just very sophisticated. And Cliff, deep into his photography, but as a younger man, he lived near the water, so had a little boat. Always a kid's kid, a boy's boy. I don't know what you'd call it, but just a neat guy. Spent his whole life with national parks and in biology, and mostly in the Maritimes. Well, in fact, all of his life in the Maritimes, settled down there, bought a farm. And has had a good life. He's the one with a nice boat and BMWs and just a good life and a good dear friend. We had a reunion in 1988. All friends from all across Canada came down to the farm to reconnect on this 88. And that, 88's a long time ago. And we missed our... 88 to 98, 98, 2008. God damn, we missed an anniversary or two or three or four of that. We talked yesterday of having another sometime, but who knows. But just these little gatherings of a few friends meeting together and reliving old memories and just great camaraderie. And I enjoyed my role very much because I was, well, as odd as the other two. Played the role of the Joker, the oddball, which was who I was, and brought some laughter into the conversation. So it was fun, sort of going back to who we were, how we connected. I guess words definitely do a terrible job, or I'm doing a terrible job of telling how important and how moving and how heartwarming this was. And I guess the thing about it, I was thinking at the time, it's so different from what I'm doing now. Talking to relative strangers, some people I don't even know who are listening. Some people I know through these gatherings, maybe in Hamilton once a year. Some a little better than others. We've just met more often. But it's so different from people you actually grew up with and shared a past with and continue to hold on to those threads and connections. There was just something qualitatively different. And I guess what makes it even stronger is both these guys hate Facebook, would have nothing to do with Twitter or podcasting or anything like that. They are, they're not fans of the digital world. They probably recognize some of the value, but definitely not something they want to do. Cliff would, in terms of, uploading, downloading photos, and Mike for his business as an actuary. Or something like that, an advisor for benefits plans. But I'm the one out there with you, the listener, and I'm glad of it. It fits for me. But there was a very real divide between these old friends from my past and this world of words and podcasts and just talking to somebody who may or may not react, who may be, doing something else while I'm blabbing away and may not really even want to or be able to take the time to think about what it is I'm saying or trying to express. Whereas the conversations yesterday, we listened to each other, and it was conversations. Although probably, especially after the talk, I probably did a little more of my share. But I also led it a little bit, you know, made the suggestions where to go. Let's go by where Cliff used to work, Dominion Bridge. Let's go by along Notre Dame and Lachine where Sam Tabak is. Let's go up where the Barstool Buddha used to live in the Royal Dixie Apartments, which we remember when they were new. These are the apartments close to Roarval, and just so many memories of a past, and ending with so much gratitude for the lives we lived, the times we were born in, for the parents. I guess the bottom line was when we expressed gratitude, when I was saying we need to, it was for the way we were brought up. The fact that we benefited from having good parents who taught us good values. That really is the essence of who we are and how it served us in life and got us to the point where even in this age, we're still living good lives and very happy with our situation in life. All right, time to go. So that gives you more than you need to know, or far less than you need to know, actually. But I'll sign off anyway. Scarborough Dude, signing out from Pointe Claire, Quebec. Bye for now. Check. Hope you enjoyed that song by Lovin' Rockets. It is my steady diet right now for music. I'm just kicking myself. I knew when I was in Quebec City at the second used CD shop, they had, I guess it might have been their last CD or studio-produced album called, oh, damn it, Lift. And it was more, I think it might have been $16.99. I'm not going to pay that. That's for a used CD. And put it back. And then part of it, I had it in my hand with the other one that I did buy there that I'm really enjoying now. And thought, okay, well, I'll maybe just see if the guy will make a deal on both of them. And then another voice just said, nah, you don't need to buy another CD. You don't even know what it's like. Put it back. And of course, knowing it's the kind of thing I this is a pattern I have in my life. It happens less often now. But when it comes to a purchase, you know, the arguing back and forth to get it or not to get it. And then when you decide not to, and it's too late, then you immediately recognize it was a mistake. I should have done that. And it could go the other way. I could have bought it. Realized, you know, damn it. Just spent $30 on two used CDs. I didn't need to do that. But probably I would have liked it. I would have convinced myself that I loved it. Anyway, whatever I do have by Love and Rockets, I love. God damn, get out of this silliness. I was thinking about brains on the way over and how some brains, like the Brodbeck brain, just has such a phenomenal memory, and how I may never have had a good memory to start with, but I certainly don't now. And that wasn't, I wasn't hung up about it. I was just ruminating the shortcomings that I have dealing with, you know, the limits I have. But anyway, while I was doing that, I decided for some reason I needed to know how long the song was that I was listening to, the opening song on Hot Road to Heaven. What is it? I can't remember what it's called. Hot Something to Heaven. The Love and Rockets CD. And wanted to know how long that first cut was. And I looked, you know, I'm driving now. I've gone to McDonald's. I've got my iced coffee. I'm driving. I'm following a VW. And I looked. Times aren't marked in the back. Just as a name of the song, but no times. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if it's, surely they put the times on the inside, the insert. And so while I am driving, I decide to open the CD case. I can sort of do it with one hand. And then maybe just take out that piece of paper. And then maybe just look down, just quickly. Look down, see if there's a time there. And not realizing the VW in front of me had stopped for traffic. And I just jammed on the brakes. Everything on the seat went straight flying into the floor. And he wagged his finger at me. I could see it. You know, he knew I was looking because I just came within inches. And it was such a stupid thing to allow myself to do. And I'm sometimes like that. I just get in my mind, I need to know something now while I'm driving. And it's, you should never do that. And I had just seen somebody posted a video. It was on the news. And somebody just distracted for a second, veered off the road, and then high speed into a telephone pole. Destroyed the car, flipped over. They were okay, apparently. They got a fine for distracted driving. And then, you know, a horrendous car. You probably had to buy a new car. So this has happened to me before. And I have to establish a firm rule, no distracted driving. No, one thing at a time. You need to know something, pull over. And for Christ's sake, did you really need to know how long that song was? Okay, so this is an introduction. If you're listening to this, well, no, it's the people who aren't listening to this I want to reach out to and tell them that the Dixon Janes is no longer fucking hour long or fucking too long. It's not that fucking long anymore. These are shorter episodes. These are the summer shorts. And I like the format myself. But I think a lot of people just say, oh, Dixon Jane, oh, God damn it, that guy goes on for an hour. Fuck that. And so I may never get back those listeners. So what I will do is I'll read something to you, something I found on my desk. Okay, let's backtrack. Let's put it in context, all right? Today was a day to start getting organized for leaving. I've been chatting with our good friend, the virtual Youper, and I think I'm going to arrive in Copper Harbor. I've decided this is my route now. I'm going to Sault Ste. Marie. I've completely changed the route. I am heading west. I'm still heading for Vancouver, but via Sault Ste. Marie, and then cross over and then venture up into Copper Harbor for a night or maybe two, probably two, so that I can enjoy. I mean, you know, I'm sure I could spend a week there, but I've got to be on the road. And it'll be the night I'll arrive the day Isabel, Dave, and Jonathan leave. They're there this weekend. So it's kind of funny. I'll be parking in their house, probably in their empty driveway, while they're down in Copper Harbor with the trailer. I think that's kind of neat. All of this, if you're hearing this, it may have already happened. It depends how keen you are. If you're a keen listener, like one of the Jasons, I don't think the other Jason listens, but one of the Jasons does. You'll know what my plans are for this coming weekend. Plan is leave Saturday, drive to the Sault Ste. Marie. It's a long drive, but you can get it done in one day just to get a good start. And cross the border the next day and head up to Copper Harbor. So it would be neat. I might be seeing their trailer heading home while I'm heading too, but let's see. Anyway, speaking of Jason's, I sent him... I used the feature I'd never used. I mentioned this a while ago too. I just underuse the beauty of Siri being able to dictate notes. Like, I'm looking at this thing. Okay, it's a piece of paper I found on my desk that I really like. It's called "A Writer is Someone Who Writes." Well, that's one of the quotes. But I thought, I don't want to write that out just to drop it into a text message or a tweet. And then thought, no, I'll just read it to Siri. And Siri got it, like, almost 100% accuracy. It's amazing. You used to have to pay a lot of money for those things. So, here it is. We are all connected to one another and the mystery at the heart of the universe through our strange and marvelous ability to create words. Let me read that again. We are all connected to one another and the mystery at the heart of the universe. Not quite sure what that means. Through our strange and marvelous ability to create words. That part I get. When we write, we create. And when we offer our creations to one another, we close the wound of loneliness and may participate in healing the broken world. When we write, we create. And when we offer our creations to one another, we close the wound of loneliness and may participate in healing the broken world. Our words, our truth, our imagining, our daydreaming may be the best gifts we have to give. Well, I like to think that applies to the Dixon Jane's podcast to some degree. It is all about words. But, yeah. Okay, anyway, moving on. I just wanted to say I spent the morning doing a preliminary packing, just starting on the packing. And I have 6 shirts in a drawer. 6 drawers full of T-shirts. And as I brought a lot of them out, I thought, I don't wear that, I don't wear that, I don't wear that, I don't care if I lost that. If I lost that, I wouldn't care. So maybe half of them I could get rid of, but I didn't. I folded them, refolded them, and put them back in. But I went through every T-shirt I had in those drawers to decide which ones to bring on my trip. I narrowed it down to 11. Now, some of you might think that's excessive, but if I'm sweating... You know, a T-shirt can pick up sweat stains from me if I'm, you know, the way I am now when I walk, I just get in a sweat. So 11 T-shirts, but each one has a story. Like, I have one from Windsor that Shane designed, another one from the Fog Lounge. So that takes care of Windsor and my two buddies there, Shane and Tom. And then one of Quebec, that's my home province. And I left behind the PodCamp Toronto ones. I left behind my Dixon Jeans original t-shirt. But I just, you know, it was important. Silly, but important. And then there was a number of other shirts that just needed. And I'll overdo the clothing packing. And why not? I mean, when I come back, it might be late fall. Or no, it won't be late fall, but it could be September, late September. Could even be into October, depending. And it can get damn cool going through the Rockies. So I want to have warm clothes, too. And anyway, why am I telling you all this? It's a process. It takes time. I'm using this time to get myself ready, to psychologically get myself into the reality that, hey, I've said for so long that I'm leaving, traveling west. And it's not been real at all because it's just a plan. It's just words. And this business of starting packing sort of is pointing me in the right direction to the day when I have to get in that vehicle and drive. And already I'm thinking, okay, Saturday morning, get up early, drive my son to work, come back, and then get in the vehicle. I was first of all thinking of driving to the airport and just carrying on from there, which makes sense too. But I don't think I'm going to be ready at 7:30 in the morning to leave. I think it's you know, faster just to return home quickly and then start fresh again. But I'll see. I'll see on that one. It might be more fitting, yeah, to drop them off to actually, you know, starting point at the airport. It would give me, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Sorry, I'm talking to myself now. That's what we do on the Dixon Jeans podcast because I don't have a co-host. I don't think a co-host would want me. Well, I mean, I fired the last one, Brent. You probably heard about that. I just gave up. I know he's got a lot going on in his life, and better things have happened to Brent. You know, I mean, I'll say this in all seriousness. Best thing that ever happened to that man was meeting up with Brandy. And that is a long and is going to be enduring relationship, and it's, you just couldn't wish something more on somebody who's deserving of it. And Brent is a decent guy, an entertaining guy, a funny guy. But we like to poke at his shortcomings. You know, only listening to podcasts that he's on, for example. And then just sort of not, you know, be letting other people do stuff and not taking initiative. And now, of course, he's married to Brandy, or going to be married to Brandy. She will take the initiative. And I'm saying, hey, man, you know, you owe it to her to step up once in a while and say, hey, I'm going to do this. Anyway, this is not all about Brent, although if I tell him this, he might have to listen to this podcast and say, hey, I talked about you in the podcast. It was his birthday a couple of days ago. I insulted him by actually wishing him a happy birthday. Well, maybe I didn't quite wish him a happy birthday, but I certainly commented, acknowledged the fact that it was his birthday. Well, thanks to Rob Lee, who likes to stir things up. And why are we talking about Brent? Oh, yeah, so a co-host fired him from the, what is it we do? Not the Garbage Cast, that's somebody else. Gappage. He would have to apply for his job back. But I think maybe that podcast, unless there's, you know, a lot of people out there shouting, bring it back, we want Gappage. Yeah. All right. I think I've done enough. This is sort of like, you know, up until now I've been sort of trying to tighten these podcasts up a little bit and make sense and tell you factual things. And this one is just going off the rails. I guess I want to finish this and put it out before I actually start my journey because there'll be a few podcasts on the journey, along the journey, en route. And so this is to say, maybe one more section. Here's a new topic. My wife. I came home from being away, just 10 days or so, 10, 11 days with the tour. And, you know, that first night when I got home, bam, there's a nice curry rice on the stove, just heat it up. Oh, that's nice. And she disappeared for a while, and I said, oh, did you go out for a walk? No, I was mowing the lawn. Ooh. Our new mower is quieter, otherwise I would have noticed. And then I went to take a shower the next morning, I looked, and there's a brand new shower head, way better than the last one. The last one was one of these, a guy came to the door saying, you know, we're willing to install things. This is probably funded by the Ontario government at the time. to make your house more energy efficient. So they put in a new thermostat, which we've never figured out how to use, and I don't like it at all. The old one was much better. And they put in a shower head that just sort of, it's just weak. And you never, we have, in all that time, this is a few years now, we haven't had a decent shower. So to come home, she does things while I'm away. I also looked at my car, the little Toyota I drive, and it was all tidied up and cleaned up, and there was a little box on the seat that held the things loose, and all the garbage and papers and crap that I always leave in a little tray in the front, that was all gone. And there was probably countless other things around the house. Oh, yeah, new mats put here and there that she just does. She's an absolutely wonderful woman, and I could not imagine a better partner. And I just say this, and I've said it before, and I mean it. She got the short end of the stick, but, you know, I mean, well, what can I say? I continue to try to be a little bit better, but I'm a very slow learner. God, I don't want to end on that note. Scarborough Dude. Oh, I don't know, what day is it? It's Wednesday. I'm in Bluffers Park. I'm sitting in my favorite bench right by the little inlet where the boats and sometimes sea-doos go in and out of. It's a glorious sunny day. It's warm, but you can also feel, the fall is coming, and I love, love, love that fall feeling. So I'm going to just slap this in, and such as it is, I wish there was something more I could have told you. Maybe you like that little passage about the words at reading, I don't know. And you'll be hearing from me probably once I'm on the road. Bye for now.
All the little life forms upon this little earth multiplying, dying, and returning to rebirth. All the little children growing up in space, adding less more stories to the history of this race. Here on Earth, here on Earth, here on Earth, here on Earth. Time is searching for the way the world was made. Money spinning, streaming all the gifts from the arcade. All the wine I'm streaming to a methylated god. All the sleeping person who got by the book of blood. Here on Earth, here on Earth, here on Earth, here on Earth, here on Earth. Heaven sent. The men see through.